The sugya I'm going to discuss is Zeh Nehneh V'Zeh Lo Chaser, which has many relevancies, halacha l'maisa, that people have been asking me about for many decades. And therefore I decided to explore it. Let me just overview the sugya, which starts here on the bottom of Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, goes on to Chaf Amud Beis and Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara actually lays down on the bottom of the Chaf Amud Aleph the klal of Zeh Nehneh V'Zeh Lo Chaser. Where it says if one person has hanah from somebody else, the case is Hador B'Chasi Chaver Shomi Daito, I decide to what they call squat. To squat in your property. This is a issue in Eretz Yisrael which you cannot imagine how relevant it is. Maybe at the end of the shiur, if I have time, I will tell you a few vignettes regarding this matter and myself and our yeshiva. Yeah, yeah.
There's a halachic right, concept of halachic rights of the squat?
Yes, that's a sugya ba'avasa. In the Gemara in the beginning of the Ches Sabbatim, that squat is rights. But that's based on a shtar that was lost. Anyway, but I'll get to it. Anyway, so Hador b'chatzah chaver shomi daito, I decide to go ahead and where you have property, and the Gemara says the maskana chotzed lo kaima da'agra. That's what we're talking about. The case of Zeh Nehneh V'Zeh Lo Chaser. You're not renting it anyway, so why should I not benefit from a freebie? And since you have that property available, nice piece of property, and so the Gemara says Zeh Nehneh V'Zeh Lo Chaser is potter. The question: why exactly Zeh Nehneh V'Zeh Lo Chaser is potter? Is the subject of a big machlokas of Rishonim, very famous machlokas that I'll get to in a little while. Is that based on the concept of the Gemara actually really presents the two positions on the bottom of the page? The Gemara says on the bottom of Chof Amud Aleph, "My Matzi Amalei, my Chasaticha." I basically, you did not rent it; it's not being rented, so I did not really in any way infringe on your rights, impinge on that which you have. B'lav hochi lo mugris, you're not renting it anyway, so there's nothing chaser, nothing is missing. Al Dilma, the other side of the Gemara says, no, ha'isanis, I have hanah. And the moment I have hanah, so then the halacha is, and this Tosfos right away introduces all the Rishonim, what's called the principle of kaifin al midas daim. Midas daim, clearly, they were not very nice people. And over there in Sodom, their general approach in life was that even if they could do a chesed for you, which would not in any way harm them in any shape, manner, and form, they refused to do so because they had a Sodom kind of outlook. And therefore, kaifin al midas daim is the basis for this halacha that we do not operate that way. We are bali chesed, and therefore, we don't. When it comes to midas daim, we say no, that's not the way you should behave. So that possibly is the other suggestion mentioned by Rishonim. Why Zeh Nehneh V'Zeh Lo Chaser is potter. The Gemara goes on and brings all kinds of rayas and Daf Chaf Amud Beis. The Gemara brings a raya from a famous sugya ba'avasa about makif. I'm not going to go through the details right now. And then the Gemara has another discussion about bayis v'aliyah, also a similar kind of discussion, all referring to the same issue of Zeh Nehneh V'Zeh Lo Chaser. So halacha l'maaseh, must you pay or not? The Gemara discusses it in Chaf Amud Beis towards the bottom. The Gemara, of course, presents a machlokis. Hayim tzorch lahalos lo schar, or ain't tzorch lahalos lo schar. Must you pay for this hanor that you have, or do you not have to pay for this hanor? The Gemara wants to be derived from Hegdish. The Gemara questions this right from Hegdish because it could be that there's no, you can't extrapolate from Hegdish to Hedyot. They're two separate areas, two separate domains. That's the discussion on the bottom of Chof Amud Beis. On the top of Chof Amud Aleph, Chaval Amud Aleph rather. Here the Gemara continues. And Paskin Zalocha on line number 6 or 7, Ein El Sorech La'alo Soschar. Unless the Gemara says we're talking about a situation of Sorech Bais Meruvain, and it happens to be, but Shimon is the owner. So under those circumstances, the Gemara says it depends whether Kaima L'Agra or Lo Kaima L'Agra. So Halacha L'Maisa, in the middle of the page of the Chafal from Adal, the Gemara says, Omer Rav Schor, Rav Hunam Rav, Hador B'chatzah Chaver Shomi Daito, Ein tzorch la'alos lo schar. Mishum shenemar, Marcos of Pasuk in Yishayo, the Nabi says, "Ushiya yukas shar." And Rashi explains here that we're talking about a shed. Sheshmo, Rashi says, "Shiya," and mechate shar bayish ein bnei adam darim bo. If a house is empty, the house is not occupied, so then there are shadim that are hovering in the area. Mashenki, the house that's occupied, that's one pshat in Rashi, so it doesn't have that issue. Second pshat Rashi quotes, Bayis, Rashi says that no one is there, so then there are mazikin. It could be, literally, here we're talking about not phantom mazikin, but real mazikin. Anyway, it's a whole discussion in Rishonim regarding that issue, but halacha lemaise, zeh nenev, zeh lo chaser, as I said, is the way we paskin the halacha in Shulchan Aruch, it's potter. So I want to just present to you a few halacha lemaise shailas that have come up in my life in the last 45, 50 years. That are all relevant to this sugya, and I'm going to try to analyze some of the Rishonim here to see what to do regarding these matters. Am I allowed to park in, let's say, the parking lot of a bank? I'm not talking about, I don't plan on using the bank, obviously, but there are spots that are available for me. Why shouldn't I be able to park there, especially when the bank is not functioning? Let's say at nighttime, I decide to park there at night, the bank is open from, well, that's a sale, let's say 10 to 1 or something like that. But let's assume a normal circumstance of 9 to 5, 9 to 6, in Chutz Laaretz, and the bank customers are using the bank, I shouldn't be there. I'm not using the bank, I'm not even a customer in the bank, can I use that? Number one. Number two, this is a very famous shaylus, Nogia, here in Ramat Beit Shemesh, all over the place, people ask me this all the time, can I trespass on your property to take a shortcut? Because it's supposed to walking all around the block, now I see they built some steps over there in your neighborhood. Anyway, so... Sorry?
Muncie.
Yeah, we don't need Muncie. We are right here in Beit Shemesh. Right here, Rabbi Beit Shemesh, Beit Shemesh in Hanof, everywhere you go. The whole country is full of such shortcuts. And number three, can I dump my garbage in your dumpster? I don't have any room in mine anymore. May as well put it in yours. Why not? What's the problem? Number four, that riding on a bus, this happens also quite often. People charter a bus in order to go to Haifa for a wedding. And I have to go to Haifa. I'm not going to the wedding. Can I just simply, there's every seats on the bus that are available. So why should I go on that bus? Because it's available and no one is going to be harmed by it. It's true, I'm not invited to the chasana. I'm not going to the chasana. But it's an empty seat. Must I pay? Must I not pay? Okay, I'm just giving you a few samples of questions. I have literally umpteen questions have been asked of me in the last 45, 50 years, all regarding this sugi of Zen and Zalo Chasid. So as I said, now, let's just take a look at this. This is called the Maamar Mikomos. First, we already mentioned the one on page number one, which is the bottom of the page, namely, Mai Chesarticha. I didn't cause you any harm. I didn't cause you any loss. And therefore, why shouldn't I be able to benefit when you don't lose anything? You're not actually sustaining any hefsed. And the fact that I'm benefiting is irrelevant. Or, the other side, as we just said, we'll go on page number two, top of the page, Ho'isanidei. Fact is, I'm having hanoah, and once I'm benefiting, so I'm chuyu to pay, I'm chayu for that hanoah. Now, it's interesting, the Gemara leaves out one case. The Gemara actually here analyzes two cases, but does not mention the case of ze lo ne'aneh v'zeh chaser. The Gemara does not discuss that case. Which means that, let's say the house is omeid to be rented, and he moves in and is living there, but really has no hanoah, because I have another house down the block. And I could obviously go to the house, which is mine, down the block, and move in there and live in there. So it's not called a monetary benefit. I don't need a place to stay. I have my own house. So now this issue the Gemara does not discuss. The Gemara does not mention Zelo Nenev Zelo Chaser. Now Tesis here, Divrei Maschil, Zei Nenev Zei Vizein Chaser, where is this Taisus now? Right here, on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph. Says Taisus the following. Everyone have it? The bottom Taisus in Daf Chaf Amud Aleph. Zein Nene, Vizein Chaser, or we call Lo Nene, Afilu B'chatzah the Kaim of the Agra. Even a Chatzah that's open to rent, the Gabbard Lo of the Megan, he doesn't have to rent it. The owner, the Maskir, the Balabayit, has no need to rent this property. Have a matzil meimar the potter. Even there, Taisa says he should be potter. Why? Shalom, kevin shalom nene. Because at the end of the day, there's no hanoah that's involved. Alpha p shagaram hesed chavera. By living there, no one else is renting the house, so I'm causing the balabayit a loss. He could have theoretically, potentially rented it out, but now that I'm there, he's not able to rent it out. So the question is, why is nichayim din mazik? says Tosis, "Dafilu gersha chaver mi beisov nadals pefanov." Even let's say the person was to chase his friend out of that house and lock the door and throw away the key, so he cannot sleep in that house. And let's say he has to sleep in the park, I don't know where, on a park bench or some other area, or go to a hotel and spend money, and the person chased him out of the house, so he has no benefit from it. Says Tosis, "Ein ze elagroma balma." Wow, what a statement. That's called a grumma. So that's the same as preventing another person from renting the house. It's a grumma balma. I'm not doing damage to the house. I'm just preventing him from making a profit so people can't rent it. Or I'm causing him to spend money. And that Tosfos quotes, Tosfos here claims that's considered to be grumma balma. So the Pnei Yeshua comments on this. Look on the next page. Should be on page number, not number two, but page number, first page after the, page number four. Pnei Yeshua comments on this thesis. He said, this is going to explain, look in the, where it says, Benira de Lokasha Bidi. You can read the beginning also, but he does more or less, let's read the beginning. I underlined the parts that are relevant. He quotes the thesis, Pirish, Mashikos of Chilash Hinonene, Eino Maspik the Potro. The Rav Mazikim Gamkin in Anenin. Afilach Hayavit. Kevin Shalom Afsid. You're causing a Hefsid. So the fact that there's no Anoa is irrelevant. The Kach Kosu Lachosh Hefsid because it's only a Grom Balma. Avakoshi Dim Kain, the Hashin Le Groma. I might push the Hashas Pachotze the Kaimel Agra. Let's say you have a Chotze that is normally rented out. The Gabba double the Megar, and the Pella was in need of a place. The Chayav, the Zenem, the Choser. Kevin Lachosh the Chayav, the Shechisaron, the Shechiso. Why should he be obligated? Came in the grumma. Why isn't that a grumma as well? It's all grumma. So he says, Venira on the bottom of the page, Lokasha Midi. He doesn't, and it's only a grumma where A lives in B's house, and therefore he can't rent it out. So why by Zen Nenev, Zen Chasa, why are you Chayat? The loss I caused him is only a grumma Balma. Grumma in his dock, in his bottom. It's a grumma. The same grumma, as I said, that where I live in your home, and because of my living there, even though we're talking about you're not going to do anything, you don't have no plan. Kaimed Agra means that it's a bill. There are two different criteria. Well, criteria number one, the Gemara calls Chatzer the of the Megar. Chatzer that would rent out. And number two, that this person is in need. Gavra. He requires a place to live. He needs a place to live. So he has, Peshua has a very simple kasha on Tosis. And it's, that's why I'm asking it related to the case that I gave you a moment ago. If it's only a grumma, I live in your house, so you can't rent it out to anybody else. Okay, that's called grumma. So what about Zenene? Zeh Chaser. So that's also, I cause you a loss, no doubt, but it's only a grumma. It's not, no longer. Grumma means by definition something which is not, I don't know how to, I'm not here to discuss the Rabban's Kunches and Harmi now. Which needs a wow. I heard Babaran on this also in the 60s. He said, Shira on it. You had a whole, about a, half a safer, this Kuntz Ramban Garmi, which is, after having ever all said and done, there are a few clothing that clearly distinguishes in Garmi and Grumma. That I do understand, but it's not as clear as I would like it to be. But Kitzer, I'm just, the Kashi is Zen and Zechoser, yes, the Pnei Yeshua. So, it's also Grumma. What's the difference in this Grumma? My Hevdel ben Grumma Zo, the Grumma Zo. What's the difference? So he writes the following. Venira de Lokasha Midi, I'm reading the bottom of the page. The Svaras Hatosasi, the Vada Mishuma Shechosolo Ein Lechaibo. The fact that I cause you a loss, for that alone, that's not going to be a reason to make the person liable. Kevin Davi Grumma Ben Izaki. Ella. But the fact of the matter is, I benefited from your property. I'm living there. I get hano. So he said, that enough, that itself is sufficient to be mechayiv me because of the hano that I'm getting from you. So why does the Gemara there have machlokes? When it comes to Zen Nenev, Zelo Chaser, because he says, Kevin Shalom in a Masi Klau. Zelo Chaser, because he had no intention of renting it out. I decided to move in. So there, Says the Pnei Yeshua, you don't. On those circumstances, you're not mechayev the person. There we say, kofen al midas dom, because he's not losing anything. I benefit from your property. You have no loss. Okay, you want to charge me. That's midas dom. You have no loss. You want to rent it out. That's called midas dom, says the Pnei Yeshua. And the Gemara says in Babasa, and that's the sugya that he quotes, actually in Mordechai, he quotes also Gemara in Babasa, on page number 5. Look on the next page. He cites a Gemara here, and a Mordechai, which is found actually on page, which is found after, but he quotes the Gemara in Babasa. The Gemara in Babasa speaks about, you can force someone not to act like Midas Dom. You can force someone, don't be a sodomite. Don't act like the way the people of Sodom act. And because of the principle of Kovah Midas Dom, you're potter by Zenen of Zalochosim. That's what the Pnei Yeshua suggests. There's a Mordechai that also he quotes the Pnei Yeshua. He said the following. You can see it actually inside on the Pnei Yeshua, page number 4 again, where it's about from the bottom up, approximately 9 lines from the bottom up. Ugdolu mizu kasav haMordechai b'shem Rav Yoh. Mordechai is going to write that in a chatzah which is not omed to be rented, you can force the owner in Bezdin and let me in. You have no loss. I have benefit. That's a tremendous chiddush. Where did he come up with that idea? That's wild, I would say even. That the guy has no plan of renting it. I go to Bezin. I need a place. Let me have it. Bezin says, certainly. That's what he should give it to you. Look what he writes. He can go He can go to Bezin and compel that person to go ahead and rent, give him that property. That's the understatement of the year. Nobody agrees with this Mordechai. Nobody. And Shulchan Aruch against the Mordechai. Unbelievable. This is how far the Mordechai goes. How far the principle of Kefen Amidas Dom goes, according to the Mordechai. And then he says, even though Rabbi Apostle Macholik, after the fact, if I live there, and he has no benefit, and the other Gabra has a suffix. However, let's say I have a chaser that we rented. The Gabra Dovin the Maker. I need a place to rent. Came lo shaych laskin kan klal midas dom. Came shemagiel ohezek shabim shidla da shasachayim shuman asal chud. Then, in that circumstance, there's no question I'm going to be obligated because, of course, I'm benefiting. I'm having hanon. That's basically he's saying in that second situation, which is our case of zen nene, and the principle of kofen al midas dom is not applicable by zeh nene v'zeh chaser. Means midas dom is when do you apply midas dom?
Pointless.
What was that?
Pointless.
Right. Okay. Good. I mean, when a person is not losing anything, then you apply the principle of kofen al midas dom. But if I'm losing, so then we don't apply kofen al midas dom. Then you mechayev the person because of hanoah. That's posha. That's milsa the pshita. And this is not an uncommon situation. And there's another issue which also I will mention, which you probably when you learn the Gemara, I assume you also came across it, and that is another very famous comment that Chazal have, what's known as the issue of Mishuch Shachuraisa di Shisa. That refers to the wear and tear. Can I use that term? Wear and tear that happens when a person goes into someone else's property and you use it. Anytime you use someone else's property, there's going to be clearly some wear and tear. So therefore, that automatically is mechayev you, means if I live in your recently built house, I stayed there for a few days. So it's true, zeh nene v'zeh lo chaser, the owner doesn't plan on renting it out at that moment, but I'm blocking the walls. Again, it's not significant damage. It's damage of, probably of an insignificant nature. But the Gemara says that Right, I understand. But here, the Gemara says here that, let's say the Hanor, let's say it's a homeless person. So the Hanor, the homeless person, has $100 for a week. And the damage he does is $10. So the question is, how much does he have to pay? Does he pay $10 or does he pay $100? What another tumult in the Paschim over here. The Gemara said that he pays for the Hanor $100. That's what he's going to pay. Even though he also provided, as Abiyazga said, the Balabayit, the house now has companionship, and therefore the Shadim automatically are no longer extant. But the Gemara says that he pays for the Hanor. Why? Because if there is any loss, that's what Tesis and Ksubis writes, that even the loss is Pacham Shavaputa. But again, we don't apply the principle of kofin aminas dom. When there's a loss of the balabayis, you can't be, don't be a tzaddik af yadim cheshbon. You can't be a tzaddik on someone else's cheshbon. This person obviously is sustaining a loss, and therefore, you're mechuyev to pay for the entire hanah, not just the $10 worth of the wear and tear of the blackening of the walls, but you're mechuyev to pay for the entire hanah, which is the $100, the $100 that you benefited. And just basically, you should always be mechuyev to pay for the hanah. But there's a principle that overrides it called kofin al midas dom. You have a conflict between these two ideas, and the question is, how do you resolve this conflict? So if there's any loss whatsoever, we don't invoke that principle. That principle is not relevant of kofin al midas dom, and you have to pay the entire $100 because, because you had hanah, as the Gemara said, you had benefit from the, that's what the Pinchas Yeshua more or less is saying here. V'zeh nenem, v'zeh lo chaser, is potter because they're kofin al midas dom. But in Zen and Zeh Chaser, they're Yechayev because of the Ano. That's more or less what the Yeshua writes. Now, page number. Person means the Balabayit. That's right. Correct. That's what Tosha says. Right. It covers many of the cases. That's 100% correct. But right now, I just. What was that? Okay, obviously, there's a the position, as I said, the position of the Mordechai is not quoted in the Halacha. Not at all, Shulchan Aruch, it's not mentioned. And the Rav Yo, I mean, it's very, I think it's, as I said, a very, it's a position for I don't know for whom. I don't think it was the average person. But on page number 5 again, there's a Tesim Ba'al Basra, who also seems to explain like the Pnei Yeshua. This Tesim Ba'al Basra on Daf Yubez, is also famous Tesis. Taisa says here, he's talking about the Gemara has a discussion about Pshita Chedi B'chor V'Chedi Pashut Yabin Le Achad Mitzvah. There's a dinner bar mitzvah, there's a famous halacha, two pieces of property are near each other, and the two people are vying for that property, so the first person who has first dibs is the one who actually owns property next to it, because of Asisa Hayoshev Ato. That's another very significant, that's what he also wrote, Baron, a very beautiful piece on that. And that, the Gdarim, you probably know that piece. That's really one of his most famous pieces. It's written in Hebrew and English. Actually, it's also written in French. That's hilarious. He wrote the piece in several languages. And a fantastic piece. It was published in a collection of essays. Rabbi Baum is one of the people here who has an appreciation of Baum Lichtenstein. It's a little translation. The English, which is in a collection of essays, but it's published actually a number of different places. I forgot what it's entitled. The title of the article is there a ethic beyond the Fnim B'Shur Sadin? Something along those lines. That's what he... What was that? Yeah. But it's published in a number of places. In a number of places it was published. Anyway, so on page number 5 here, Tesim Ba'al Basra means we're talking about where dividing Yerusha. And the Bukhar takes Pishnayim. Bukhar takes the double the amount. So he gets, let's say, 2 fields. So now the issue is the Bar Mitzvah. The Gemara says, Zeb Shita. I mean, someone who purchases a piece of property near the field of his, talking about his father-in-law, and then give me a share and next to my field. That's what the Gemara says here. Kigon Zeh, Kofin Abiyas Doim. This is where the Gemara actually applies this principle of the. So here on page number 5, you can see Kofin Abiyas Doim. Means you force them to divide in such a way that you'll get 2 fields adjacent to each other. So look at the Tesis here. Tesis Akasha, that Amai Itzrich Kro. Why do we need a pasuk to teach you this? Let's apply Kevin Amidas Dom. The Gemara calls a pasuk here. And Tesis Akasha, who needs a pasuk? Let's apply the principle of Kevin Amidas Dom. All the fields are of the same quality. And the Bechor wants adjacent fields, one field next to the other. And the, in effect, the Bechor has Hanor. And the other is Aloch Chaser. So the Ritzma says, he tells you a very important principle. This din of Kevin Amidas Dom, is this a din d'araisa? No, not a din d'araisa. What is it? A takonas chazal. Means me'ikra din, he says, yochach ha'negdo lim l'chos neged ha'bechor. The guy who wants that field can actually...
Had it not been for the pasuk.
That's right. If not for the pasuk, he'd be able to go ahead and his vying against the bechor for the property, he has a kpeda. And his kpeda is taken into consideration by Chazal. His kpeda, as I said, I mean, he said the kpeda is beruchos, whatever, however you interpret that.
Direction.
What?
Direction.
Direction, I understand what the word means. No, I'm just saying
the point is that other side is saying, what? I want that piece because I want it. But it's,
the bar mitzvah, also, bar mitzvah, again, there are many reasons why.
Not the bar mitzvah, the one who's against the bar mitzvah.
Oh, I see. Okay. Okay, there is some, clearly, some basis for his, and he has this guy has the issue of the ruchos, as you said. But Taisa says here further. He writes in the ode, Yikofin Nemar, if you like looking at the Taisa, Ritzva, I underline, you see that? Ritzva Mefarish, Tehodam Rabba, Kifin Asalab, Lobidin Terekomar, the Bidin Hayochal Limcha Shekinegdo, Dikok Pay the Ruchos, Kedaminim Kamaduchtin, the Oi. So this the second piece. Hod the Kifin, Almidas Doim, Bezen Nene, Bezelo Choser, the guy's already living there. He's been there for a while, and the other person really would not have rented it. And I decide to enter the property, and therefore, under those circumstances, I'm not obligated to pay him. But I have the right to stop him. So he has no right just to go as he wishes and go into people's property. I can stop him from moving into my property, and we won't apply the principle of kofin al midas dom, because kofin is only after the fact, not before the fact. That's a very important comment of Tesis. After he lives there, you can't charge him because of kofin al midas dom. So why did the Bechor get the adjacent field? So this is a takonas chazal. Now, basically, in kofin, really, there are two dinim that Tesis seems to suggest. One din is after the fact. Could be after the fact. Maybe it is a din d'oraisa. But before the fact, we don't apply kofin except by Yerusha. Then there's a Tachonis Chazal. Why Kofin? And by Bechor, you need a Pasuk. Because you don't apply Kofin by a Doraisa. It's only Tachonis Chacham. So that's why you need a Pasuk. Now, it's only in one case that you apply Kofin, Minat Torah, after the fact. If I already lived there, I already established my credentials, and he wants to charge you, then we say, Kofin al Midas Dom. But if he continues to live there, after you tell him to leave, then Mikan al Abba. Of course, you can charge him for that Adah. No question about it, that he's benefiting. And he can be charged with Adam. I'll tell you how I got into the sugya, just one little vignette. Many years ago, our yeshiva was offered to purchase a piece of property right in the heart of Yerushalayim. And it's near, I forgot that area, what it's called, very congested area, very Haredi area, very congested area. It is going on Bar Ilan and Shmuel Anovi, that area, if you know what that is. A bit further, now they're doing a lot of building over there. There was a building that was owned by Mizrahi. It was a shul owned by Mizrahi. And we had dibs on it because we are connected to Mizrahi in a number of different ways. And this is many, many years ago. Okay, so we looked into it. It was actually a very large building. It really had a lot of pluses to it. I wasn't happy about the area per se, I'll be honest with you, but sometimes beggars cannot be choosers, and it was a property that was also affordable. And the mankal of our yeshiva, Harav Michal Mark, Zechazak Zerach, Hashem Yikom Damo, the owner was killed in a terrorist attack, and unfortunately three other korbanos that followed, one recently. So he was connected to the fellow who more or less was directing traffic, and he gave us a very good deal. And so we began to, this was in the course of about a year and a half or 2 years. In the meanwhile, the shul was thinning out. All the area becomes more Haredi. All the Mizrahi people moved out of there, basically. The shul barely had a minyan, mostly octogenarians. And before we knew it, squatters moved to the building. I don't want to say from which group of people, Chas v'Shalom. But they were sort of on the black side of things. Anyway, so they moved into the building, and they took over the building. Shul took a mashma. Squatters. They tied in squatters' rights. Doesn't mean anything halakhic. It means they're gazlonim. That's what it means. So they're gazlonim. And of course, they weren't going to pay anything. Why should they pay? So they get the property free of charge. So that, and then we saw what we were dealing with, biryonim, shudukh mashma. And had we attempted to go in there, they would have made our lives miserable, and who knows what happened. And they end up, of course, end up being in court, and went on for approximately 12, 13 years. And the courts over here, what else? Welcome to the country. And guess what? They don't, it was going to go to Beis Din, and they did not subscribe to the Beis Din that the Tovim, the Mizrahi people, they didn't subscribe to them because they're all not Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, going to them. They're all completely Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, even Gedolei Yisrael. Oh yeah, I don't want to get into politics. It's not really, I shouldn't. anyway, HaYosef Mikol Hazeh, guess what? They had the building. Did they pay for it? Between you and me and the lamppost, I left the Ketub. So that's how you operate here. Kol diyalim gova. Ka'a zelech. Ma omer kvodo, u kvodo. We call our kvodos po. Wow. But we saw it was not kedai for us to enter the picture because we would have been clobbered. Not just clobbered, shall we say, you want to call it legally, physically. We would have been clobbered. That's how people operate here. It's very chaval. Now you know why Mashiach is not here. Welcome. That's the reason why he's not here. What? Harav Dr. Mezenkis, if I would tell you the story of my life here in 29 years, on that I could write 6 books on all these kinds of events that occur here called Yom Kol Laila. It's just a lack of Yashua. So one of the issues I have, and I say it openly, I'm not embarrassed to say it, I find people who are in the less Haredi world to be far more Yashar, far more glut, far more honest, far more not deceitful, and the like. And this is what I see all the time in my life in the last 29 years. Am I allowed to make a statement like that? I would do it in shul in front of the entire public here, but then I would be probably roasted alive by all the quote-unquote, you have here people with the black hats with nothing under it, and they would roast me alive, tshuva and what have you, etc. Okay, I'm just venting a shtickle. Anyway, fine. I'm sorry, Rabbi Bernstein, I hope I didn't offend you. I deal with people who don't have any sense of yashus. Every Rebbe I had, not just Avraham Lichtenstein, Rav Soloveitchik, every Rebbe I had was so honest. And I grew up with honest parents, completely honest. Nothing under the table, nothing, everything glatt. In this country, it's hard. It's hard to be 100% glatt, that I understand the difficulties. It sometimes makes it impossible for you. But under normal circumstances, okay, this is just a, shall we say, an editorial comment. On page number 6, in Shulchan Aruch and Shin Samach Gimel, here, the Shulchan Aruch passage in Siv Vav, the guy decides not to leave. You're to pay. As you don't apply the kofen al midas dom, again, there's no loss. But that's it, as I said, I have benefit and I get it before the fact. But the guy tells me to leave, so then I'm mechuyev to pay. That's a clear din of Shulchan Aruch. Yim lo amar lo tzei. That's the din. If the person has no loss whatsoever. And in the Hagah over here, of the Ramah, he says, Vedavka Shekvar Darbo. If you look in the second Hagah, I don't know if you can read it. Vedavka Shekvar Darbo, Avolo Yuchal Echofo. You cannot compel him now to permit you to live there. Even though Kofel Amidas Dom, the Magim Shezen Nenem Zelo Chaser, and he explains over there because, again, there's Hanoah that's involved, and once there's Hanoah, then you're going to go ahead and pay, and okay, you go more, let's go through this. Now, there's a famous Nebuka Yosef on page 7, also here. So even though you wanted me to do the other Nebuka Yosef of Isham Mishim Chitzov, I am doing the Nebuka Yosef, not the one that you wanted. I already said a Shia on that topic, so he thought I was going to discuss that topic. I said a Shia on this many years ago with the Hilchos Shabbos business. I was debating what to do. I always have, that's the biggest debate. I start debating on the Friday night what I'm going to do in the next few days. What am I going to talk about? So this is Mugay Yosef over here. He said, why do we say Kofel Amidas Dom? He's talking about Karka Shel Shneim, where I'm getting part, he's getting part. Or if I want to build a building opposite the window, Shel Chavero, and I'll block his light. Welcome to Eretz Yisrael. It goes on here, Maisim Shebechol Yom. I sat in the Choshen Mishpah Bezin for 8 years with Rabbi Spector Zatzal and Rabbi Shankolesky, Yibodol Chaim Arukim, and this was like Kol Hayom Kol Laila. I'm not joking. I was only there, David, because I speak English, and they didn't, their English leaves what to be desired, and I was able to translate precisely what the parties were presenting, etc., etc. That's the reason why I was there, Rabbi Bernstein. I'm not a Choshen Mishpah Dayan. You're a Deya Dayan, probably Choshen Mishpah too, Ms. Tavna, in your spare time. I don't know if that's what you also do in your spare time. Anyway, and this issue came up all the time. People who build and block someone else's light, or block their space, or block their view. And he wants to prevent me. So if I'm going to go ahead and build windows for him, then there'll be no chisaron beside the light. I'm building my own backyard. So it's low chaser, because I offered to build him windows. That's why I have to find a way to take care of the problem that I created. So that's what in halacha considered to be the proper thing to do. That's the appropriate thing to do. Find a way where he could have light, and I'm building my own property. I'm not talking about the cases where I sat on where people decide to extend their property, which is Ma'isim Shibachal Yom here. I think it's a possible Chumash, I thought. It mentions Dafka Eretz Yisrael, but the Issur of Hasagas Gvul applies everywhere, not just here in Eretz Yisrael, but in Chutz Eretz as well. Okay, so if I go ahead and I'm building in my own backyard, I'm blocking his light, but I decide to provide light for him in some form of fashion, that's what this Nukhiyasri here is talking about. See what I'm reading? Kasov Ozal, I don't know if you want to read it inside, you can trust me. Avagav the Kaimalon, the Alma, the Zenen, the Zeno Choser, I'm building where I'm blocking your light. Don't block my light. So I say, okay. I'm providing you with a something which of a parallel nature. At least you'll be able to have a view, you'll have light. But just to go ahead, again, I'm using my neighborhood's, my neighbor's windows, whatever it may be, he can stop me. Again, if I'm going to go ahead and offer to build him windows, that's called, again, that would be the classic case of Zen Enes Olachaseh, that would be permissible, and Kofan Amidas Dom, but otherwise, says the Muki Yosef, it would not be appropriate. Now, page number here also, okay, that he doesn't discuss. I'm not sure what the... That's a big issue as well. Let me ask you a question. The issue is if people get Yishurim, those who do get Yishurim, Baruch Hashem, people, there are some people who get Yishurim. Anyway, the honest ones. So they get Yishurim. So now there's going to be a tremendous amount of, as you described it. So what's the din regarding that? I'm not discussing that today, but that's a very... It's a very question that's discussed by contemporary Poskim here in Eretz Yisrael. Could be, many poskim hold, you have to go and engage in giving him pitsuyim for all of the above, for all the, even though it's on your property, but it's clearly going to affect him. And it does, at the end of the day, it does affect him. All the sand and all the dust and all the, I don't know what, everything else, you have to, you have to give him pitsuyim. You come to an agreement. I've sat in Bezin, we dealt with that all the time. People want to extend, that's fine. Then they get Yishurim, it's permissible, everything is fine and dandy, but they affect other people's lives in a very serious way. So they have to go and be willing to pay for it. Okay, so I just want to mention, this is again, if you've got, it's interesting that we saw before in the Gemara, let me just see, the Gemara on Daf, the Gemara of Chafim Abayz, you look back in the Gemara Chafim Abayz, the Gemara here also, I mentioned at the very beginning of the Shir, that Rav Kahana, on the bottom of the page here, Omer Rav Yochanan, the question about first the Gemara asks, Malo lo schar, eh malo lo schar, and the Gemara brings a right from our Mishnah. It's a Mishnah in Me'ilah. It's a famous Mishnah about where you're benefiting from Hegdish B'shogeg. It means the din is if you're Malo B'shogeg, you have to pay Kerem B'chimish. That's the parsha of Hashem Me'ilos. To Hegdish, you bring a carbon asham mi'ilos. So now, if you build an Eben Lebeso, so then you're not Moyel because we're talking about the Gizbar, Hanosha Reputa. Hegdish is Zen Nene and Lo Chaser. That's the Gemara's assumption. Hegdish is Zen Nene, but Zen Lo Chaser. Whether you leave the Eben on the Shulchan or not. So here the Gemara wants to learn out that by mi'ilos, Zen Nene, Zen Lo Chaser is Chayav. And the same thing should apply to a Hedyot. That's what the Gemara does. The Gemara extrapolates from Hegdish to Hedyot. And Yochanan apparently does not, he says that the two cases are not comparable because Hedyot is not Hegdish. The Lashon of the Gemara over here is Hegdish shalom midas ke Hedyot midas. Hegdish without its knowledge is like Hedyot with knowledge. Now, Hegdish without the knowledge of the owner is like Hedyot midas. And he protests because in Hegdish, who's the master of the Hegdish? Who's the master of the Korah? Hashem is Barach. He's the one who apparently is the Balabas over here. Matter of fact, you look on page 3 of this handout. I think I put it there. So on page 3, there's a Tesis, the Ve'amaschil Kehedyot. Where's that Tesis? Yeah, thank you. So Tesis here, Pirsha Kunchis, the Dash Shechina Ika. Whatever that means. Means it belongs to Hashem Yisbarach. Because Shalom Midaito Lav Davka. El Urcha the Milson Nokad. Who Adin Midaito. El Nira Kehedu Midas. Domi Klomar. The Das Shechina Iko. Shlo Yena Oda Blay Meila. That's the Das of the Shechina. That a president says and says should not be Nene without Meila. And also, even though you didn't ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but there's a standing prohibition. That's what the Issa Meila involves. Not to be Nene. Hashem is bar. It's as if Hashem is bar came to the Gizbar and said, I'm Makpid, because it's written in the Torah not to use Hegdish. Don't be Moab Hegdish. That's what Hashem is bar is directing us not to do. So you see that in the case where the Baal Bais is Makpid and says, I don't want you using my house, if you use it, you're going to be Chayyim. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. That's what the Din of Shulchan Aruch that you're Mechuyiv to follow. Now, the case of Me'ila is similar to the case of the Hedyot, who protests, because his Hashem is protesting and said in the Torah, don't be Moab. Now, the question is, must the individual whose property is being used, must he make a verbal machor? Must he verbalize it? Must he articulate this machor and say, I don't want you living here? Or is the sign sufficient or some other kind of remez? I think the fact that's written in the Torah, that's called a machor. It's psukim hamufurashim batorah. About being moabesh, whatever the makor from Eli is, that's another machlokes in the Gemara and among Rishonim. Okay, now what happens if the Baal Bais is not around and doesn't know you're living there? and you don't know if he's makpid or not. We had a case also in that Fashim Mishma Bezdin. It's not to be believed. Someone who lived abroad in Europe. He worked in Europe. He was gone usually for a year or two. Then he came back to Eretz Yisrael. And his panosa came from Europe. And his neighbor decided just to extend his property because he had small rooms. He wanted to make larger rooms. So he simply took approximately 50, 60 meters of his neighbor's property, and was able to build two more rooms. The neighbor came back 2 years later, everything was finished, and he was astounded is not the right word. He brought him to Beis Din, and he was not aware, he didn't tell him, and so he said, I didn't think you'd be makpid. Not told me, I said.
Why had to go to Beis Din for that?
So,
it wasn't 3 years. Right?
Yes, yeah, so that's it. But it wasn't 3 years. 3 years would be the Mishnah and Ches Sabbatim, and that's also if you had a shtar. This guy had no shtar, no nothing, zero. It's just a pashut of Gazlan. So, my personal position was very clear, but I was the youngest. So the other two, Rabbi Spector and Zatzal and Rabbi Shekalevsky, is a dayan. He's the Ches Mishva dayan. I'm just a simple Jew. I held that the entire matter should be raised to the ground, and Shuga Mashra, another question me. I wrote a whole tshuva about it. One of the few tshuvas I wrote in Chashav Ishba, about 15 pages. Anyway, so at the end, they more or less agreed with me, but they decided, let's see if we can find some other mahalach, which is what they did. At the end, the property was evaluated. They evaluated both the property and the extension, and at the end, he was compelled to pay, and the other party agreed. Let him pay for the whole thing, which is what he did at the end. And it was several hundred thousand shekel we're talking about. Or rather, it was about, to be precise, about $200,000, U.S. dollars. More like 800,000 shekel in that neighborhood, which he paid for that extension and the property and the kaka. And they felt that was a better... It took about 6 months for this matter to be resolved. And so at the end, I didn't get my way in the matter. Maybe it's better. So this is not uncommon, but people do things and they don't know... What was that? The guy who... No, the guy who went and illegally built, he paid for the whole thing. Yeah, he didn't want to. He didn't want to. He thought, he said, the guy, I thought you weren't mocked. What do you mean you thought? Did you ask him? No. He was gone 2 years. So what are you talking about? Why don't you contact him? Why don't you email him? Why don't you make some effort to, shall we say, as opposed to just going ahead and stealing property?
Why is it not a case of mashbiyah?
By the way, these are all from people. One of them had a long coat. Sorry. Okay, that's the issue. That came up also, discussed. That's another very important sugya. But there's no mashbiach. If I steal your property, so that's not mashbiach kaka shachaveh. That's gozel kaka shachaveh. That's asaras gul. They assume their rights all over the place. Anyway, but the question is that regarding this is a question that's asked to me that you have to put up a sign. Must there be a verbal machor? Must there be a... That's a poskim, wow, another one of these. It came up in that issue, and that's why I was ma'ayin into it. Okay, I will want to just make a number, if you don't mind, what I said at the very beginning when I started this year. Namely, I raised a number of questions, let's say, using someone's parking spot. I mean, Rabbi Baum, I live in a cul-de-sac next to a doctor's office. Often I come back, my spot is gone. So the people around me, I also have a similar problem. Some of them are a bit more feisty than I am. I'm not a feisty one. They recommend that we somehow more or less puncture all the tires. I'm sure Kamashmal. I said, are you crazy? I don't know where these people come from.
But release the air. Whatever.
What was that?
Just release the air.
Release the air. Cause them a little agbas nefesh. Especially if you have clear signs, you shouldn't park here. But and then when you attempt to do something about it, and they say, well, I didn't think you minded. I have nowhere else to go. I mean, this is the Borough Park phenomenon, Rabbi Bernstein. You probably could appreciate this. They park in Borough Park in the street. Double, triple parking. Solve the problem. I have to go into a store, and it's only 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 20 minutes or whatever it may be, and I block the whole traffic. No volume. We have people think. I don't know where they're thinking. Let them park 3 blocks away. Okay, it's a bit of a tircha to walk 3 blocks. I understand. They'll get good exercise. Maybe something will gain from it. I try to be so makpid on these things. This is what my parents taught me when I was a young child. And every Rebbe of mine taught this to me. And especially Moreno, HaTzadik, HaGoyin, Labar, Lichasin, Tzatzal. I mean, and Moreno, HaGoyin, Moren, Harav, Tzatzal. That's what every Rebbe, Moren, HaGoyin, HaTzadik, HaNisim, every Rebbe I had behaved this way. That's why I didn't see anything else until I arrived elsewhere. Then I saw all the kinds of behavior that I found to be pure skullduggery. So, Bam, I'll speak to you, because you're probably, besides being a lawyer, also a psychiatrist, maybe a few other qualities that you have. You have many, many qualities, and a London too. May you help me in this matter. Luckily, I didn't express all this. Luckily, I didn't express all this before I became a Rav. They wouldn't have appointed me as a Rav over here. What?
In London, they don't behave that way.
What does that mean? Oh, they don't do it. He wouldn't know. He's very proper. I forgot about that. I'm sorry. I'm talking to the wrong person. Rabbi Bernstein, you understand this a little bit better. The Borough Park, I call it phenomenon.
It's all up in New York, the concept of...
So I'm just saying here, the Gemara Baba Kama, that Shi'iya Yukash Shar. I mean, their argument, I'm doing you a favor. That's Rabbi Yasger. He's worried about Shadim. You know, the... Rav Soloveitchik said once, did he get this from? Someone asked him about Shaden, does he believe in them? He says, the Rambam called the press conference. And he said, no more Shaden. He eliminated all the Shaden. So I didn't know what press conference the Rambam called. He probably was here joking, I assume. But there are no Shaden in the world, unless you believe in them. If you're a little like me, you don't place too much credence in Shaden.
The small gummy and the thing on the faucet thing, before you know it.
I'm surrounded by people with the shaded
five
people.
Later,
correct,
yeah,
okay. The setting of more.
I heard
Rav Hud also, I heard his name the same thing. But I had only this Shirabayim, so they all follow the same mahalach. People hock me here, you know, I'm hocked all the time with the issue of people in homes by themselves, their wives go away, their children go away, they're by themselves in the house, you know. So there are all kinds of aces. You light a candle. I don't know. I get a kick out of everything. They don't follow halachas and shulchanoruch, bishul and borer of yisum d'oraisa. But they're makbid on all these things. Kalka v'chamura. Wow. Baruch Hashem. Hashem should bless them. Okay, I'm not saying it's not the halacha, okay? Rabbi Bernstein, you know, you're looking at me already. I know I'm not going to be choshed by you. I hope not. Anyway, but I'm just saying that the other argument the Gemara said, the second argument the Gemara says, I'm maintaining the house. Namely, whatever has to be fixed, I'm fixing. That's the Gemara. Correct? So by squatting on your property, I'm doing you a big favor. If there are things that have to be taken care of, I'll take care of it. So Gemara says, my binayu, Gemara right here, the kamishtamesh, Gemara said, b'tzibri b'tibna. You don't live there. I store things in your house. I use this to store my property, I need a machsan, so I use your house as a machsan. So again, the Gemara gives an afkamina if the issue is shadim.
The owner
is using it as a machsan.
That's right.
Says Rashi, The Mishnah is a balabais, right? But even Timna, Shoyetz of Tavna, right? The owner's using it. So, but I'm living there. So now that's a question. That's not Kamina, whether the reason is based on Shadim. Good, good. You are correct. But look on page number 8 now. This is a rush. The rush here. On this sugya. It's in the small print, if you don't mind. It means the question, why do we need this pasuk of Shadim, with the Gemara quotes here in Yeshayo? I'm on the lower right-hand corner. He's asking the question, why the Gemara quotes a pasuk when the Gemara says, Ein sarach la'adol sol schar, shenem o'shi'iyo yukashar? Correct? What do I need a pasuk for? When, in effect, we have a din. Zenen is al-chosek. Why do we need a pasuk to tell me, Ein l'ma'adol sol schar, I don't have to go ahead and pay him for this? So the Rosh says, he writes, the pasuk is only asmachta. I mean, that's pretty obvious. Asmachta ba'alma. And he says, "Lo rak shepadim mishum zenen v'zelo chase apilu tove osimo shemana beso midi saser." Why is this favor critical? Because I am preventing his house from midi saser. How do you translate that? From being broken, from being damaged. Correct. Wear and tear. I'm taking care of it. I'm doing him a favor. So if God, I'm doing him a favor, I can do it the chatchila. That's what the Rosh seems to say. And that's also, on page number 9, I saw, this is a sefer I don't often use, except when I learn Baba Kamba, because he's so charif, and I wouldn't have learned this sefer. Avraham Lichtenstein quoted this sefer all the time, the Yamshal Shlomo, the Mashal, he's unbelievable. The Mashal is charif shein kamo. You have no asoga. So he over here, he explains the Rosh. He quotes another Gemara Baba Kamba. You have to read the whole thing, because you're going to have to trust me. I put arrows on top. Make it a bit easier for you. So he quotes the Gemara Baba Kamba, if you grab your friend's Evan in the off hours when he's not supposed to be working, that's found actually on page 10. And here's the Gemara on page 10. Look at the Gemara in Hagozel Eitzim, Gemara in Sadik Zayin. Baba Kamba is the Gemara that's cited by the Yamshel Shlomo. It means you have a domestic. Oh, you want to hear the Shiloh? This is no good. Halacha l'maaseh. With your father's Zechen Levracha. I'm saying, so you have people to come and help you, and then every Tom, Dick, and Harry here, the electric goes off on Shabbos. This is like Maisim Shabbat Yom here. Kimad is not a week in this neighborhood, Bernstein, where this doesn't happen. So there's a Ukrainian woman, not far from me. I mean, I know all the people that they what? Yeah, so, and they don't like to be utilized for this purpose. And question, do I have the right? David Shlita, so you also on your block, the same issue. And this is what do we do with this? How do we handle this issue? And let's say the person, he may be living in his employee's home, but right now he's not working. Right now he has off. He doesn't have to be an Eviknani, Gufa Koni, Kenyan Isa, Kenyan Mamam, let's say on a 24/7 basis, and they're off. So do I have the right to go ahead and go over to him and ask him to do this or do this or do something else? Is that called gezel? That's what Yom Shoshon discusses. Is that considered to be an act of gezel? He says, no, because Eved Kekarka, Machlokes in the Gemara, and we paskin and gezel bekarkos. Wow, what a shtickel terror. It doesn't make any sense to me. The Gemara says, Yapotah. Why? That's what he quotes here. Look on the Gemara and Tzadik Zayin on page 10. I mean, you're saying, because I'm not using him in the hours that he's working for his master.
I am using him. I want him to rest. I need him to work tomorrow. I don't want him to service.
You hear that? Yeah. But I'm using him when he's not working. So it's a kind of zenen or zelo chaser. That's what the Yamshel Shlomo here. Yapata. Because I'm doing the Balabais a favor. What's the favor, says Yamshel Shlomo? He won't get lazy. He won't develop a kind of lassitude. Nerve volume. What kind of logic is that? But if you look at the Yamshel Shlomo here in the second arrow, on page number 9.
Why do you really call that Zenen?
That's the question. Why should that not be Zenen? Never Zenen. He doesn't say that. See, he says here, Mikom kan nire, shetzichim the time of the dudi, lo, the nichole, if not for the fact I'm doing him a favor, even though you're putter from pain, it would be osa. Havel emedebe, shalomidaito, the shol somidas, gazlanu. Technically, it's not shol somidas. But he compares it to a kind of shol somidas. So by Zenenev, Zelo Chaser, I didn't take anything out of your rishus. I didn't do any act of Gezel. So again, as I said, you don't become a Gazlan. A Gazlan is Chai Ba'onsin, a Gazlan is Kone B'Shinoi. But the question is there an Issa of Gezel? That's what he writes over here, that that here it's mutal chachila that mina mistama like kapid. When we come akom, he says that according to the Rosh, he said means to be potter, you're potter without the pasuk of the Gemara, because then enes alachaseh. But with the Rosh and the whole discussion over here, maybe it's even mutal chachila. When do we say zen enes alachaseh mutal chachila? If there are good reasons why you're doing him a favor in the house, and you're number one, you're handling the shadim, number two, you're fixing whatever has to be fixed in the house, means you're doing the person, the balabait, a big favor by virtue of your using the house. However, when these reasons are not shaykh, says the Yamshel Shoma, also the Ishtamish Benichsi Chavirecha. You can't use nechasim that don't belong to you. You're not allowed to do so. This also I saw found in this, page number 11. I've been looking around, actually. This topic is, as I said, because I'm dealing with this topic for years, so I investigated this already in the past. On page number 11, there's a Shulchan Aruch here also. What you mentioned, as far as the squatter's rights, he says, this is the Gemara in the Babas in the third parak.
Where
are
we
putting it? I'm on page number 11. Sim Kuf Membab Mechashem Ishbam. That's the din of squatter's rights that require, number one, I had a shtar, but I lost it. And you have to have a taina. You can't just squat on someone's property like that guy that we said.
Why wouldn't we have a taina that I was here for 3 years and had a chazaka?
No, the taina is that it's my property. I bought it, but I lost the shtar.
That's
not what's going on here. That's what the Gemara calls chazaka. Requires there are different types of chazakas. You know, there's a kinyan chazaka which you make on karka, and then there's cheskas shimush, cheskas tashmish. That's the first peg of Abasa, and cheskas raya is the third peg of Abasa. I call squatters rice. I don't know if that's the proper translation. Someone squats on property and claims that it's his, but he lost his shtar. So that he's a taina. That's what he says here. Kol chazaka sheini mataina in chazaka keitzad. It's mine. I don't know whose it is. That's absolutely skullduggery. You can't go ahead and do that. You can't just go to someone's field and claim, pretend to not be aware of the facts and say, well, I didn't see anybody here. So I figured probably is... What was that? That's correct.
And that's a big case of that in Brooklyn.
It's not Brooklyn. This is here in Artsenu Hakdosha. That's where these things unfortunately happen. Yeah, okay, I don't have the expertise for that. You have a country where, on the one hand, Baruch Hashem, you have so much chesed, so many beautiful people here. Now people who came because of the farmers who had to leave and go to Gaza and serve as Chayilei Tzal, and people come to do their farming for them. The chesed in this country is absolutely me'al me'evet. That's mitzarecha. And unfortunately, it's not changing. There's some other things that go on that leave a lot to be desired. So we have to try to do what we can to correct it. Okay, he says here, that's not called a taina. Shavilotan, shalokha, velosha nitnalo, velosha yarsha. Those are legitimate tainas. I received a matana of this property, or I got to be a rusha, or I basically lost my shtab. Of course, the owner has to prove that it's his, has to bring either a deed or has to bring witnesses. Heavy Aidim, then Tachzer Asodim. Let's see every man who call up here. But of course, if you produce proof that it's yours, then obviously the item belongs to you. So on the bottom here, in the Nesivas HaMishpat, so he has a discussion. He says here, came in the Balakarka, Enokan, Venom Mishtadel, Laskiro, Choshik, Chatzel, Lokam, Lagra, Timbu, Besim, Shim, Gimel, the Mutter. You're allowed to go b'tochel. It's the case of someone being machzik b'karka, chatzel lo kamel agra. I wouldn't rent it anyway. So it's a case of zen enzo lo chaser, if I wouldn't rent it out. So when he objects and says, I don't want you to use my property, then it's also. But otherwise, it would be zen enzo lo chaser. It's more or less what we're saying, what the Nesivus here codifies here, the halacha. I saw in the Chsam Sofer, on page number 12, this I saw quoted, I don't know if Chsam Sofer is bechlal, it's not my area. So I saw it quoted by Yachronim. He has a whole tshuva on Hasagas Gvul. This is how I came across the tshuva many years ago when that case occurred in the bezin that I sat on. In the middle of the tshuva, he said, the zen nenu zolo chaser, is mutar lechatchila. You see where the bottom arrow is. Venirali, you see what I'm reading on the bottom? Mishum lo kamen krab Yehuda, alivu drab Yechanan, bab mitzir kuf yitzayim, umutar lehanos b'mam chaver afil lechatchila, afil heicha shechaver himtzila osu adabar, gon semer, litzvoa, shezeim tzilo atzemer, v'hivio lebeiso, yavagat istam, enu mehuar, shemut lechatchila, mikom mekom hadar b'beiso mutar, afil lechatchila. He says a very interesting psak, that this is an issue, the chatchila, and zeh nene, zelachos, and then it goes on top of the page into the case of habayis v'aliyah, and that's the case the Gemara discusses. Habayis v'aliyah, two people, both the upper floor fell down, and the bottom floor as well. And now the Baal Ha'aliyah, the guy on the second story, wants to rebuild, that's what the Gemara talks about. He wants to rebuild his upper story. And the other one doesn't want to build. The guy in the bottom doesn't want to build. So what does he do? The Baal Ha'aliyah builds the part Lamata, which is the part belonging to the Baal Ha'bayit, but he builds it for him. Well, he should be able to build the part on top. So the Gemara says over here that the Baal Ha'tachna has to pay him the Otsot or the Bniyah. He has to pay him for that construction that he did on the bottom. Rabbi Yehuda says that, what's the Lashon of the Gemara here? That if a person dor b'toch shechaver, tzorach la'alos lo schar. And the mockery is that Nenu Zolach HaSeh. Eventually he'll rebuild it. But he doesn't want to rebuild it right now. But I need a place to live. So I rebuild his bottom, the bottom story, and then I build the Aliyah on top where I live. Rabbi Yehuda holds, you can't live downstairs without repaying him. Zed zen nene, zelachasir is chayef. So you build the house and upstairs, and even if you live downstairs, since you could have lived upstairs, it's called zelo nene, zelachasir. That's what here the Chassam Sofer has in this lengthy piece regarding this matter. Okay, that's the Gemara over here. And you can see this on the bottom of page 12. And also, if you look for a second on page 14, I cited over here also in the, he quotes actually the Pischei Tshuva. I don't know if you can read the print a little bit dark, I'm sorry. He quotes it from the Beis Ephraim, that I guess I give a silversmith, I ask him, I'm giving you silver to make me some candlesticks for Shabbos. And you give him the silver, and he has the same quality of silver, but it's locked away. So he wants to take your silver and use it, and then he'll replace it with his silver of the same quality. Is that permissible? I gave him silver to construct candlesticks for Shabbos, but he has a similar, or maybe the same, kind of silver. Beis Havayim says that zeh nene, zeh lo chaser. Because I would have said that it's chaser. It's not zeh nene, zeh lo chaser, because we're talking about metaltalin. He said, this is metaltalin, maybe it's different. I don't know where the Gemara makes such a distinction between karka and metaltalin. The Gemara is talking about karka. The Gemara is not talking about metaltalin. But
it's not an object, it's just material.
I mean, that's what the issue. He says, I dafka won my silver. I gave you this silver. Let's say the silver's an heirloom, I don't know. And some that you want dafka to use that for the candlesticks, as opposed to him exchanging his silver for your silver, even though maybe the same. I mean, is it the same as I borrow your pen, I borrow your car, and I'll give you back another pen? What was that? Okay. Fine. I mean, that's what he discusses over here. That the question is this mutar chatchila, or that would seem to be a machlokas here among the Gdolei HaPoskim, whether you're allowed to go ahead and do that. I mean, so I want to go back to what I said in the beginning. What? Okay. And Chanami is saying that's Takodas Marish. Okay. So now I at the beginning of the shiur, I presented four or five questions that I've come across my desk in the last 45, 50 years of my life, not just here in Eretz Yisrael, but in Chutz Laaretz. Let's start with the parking lot and a bank parking lot. And I decide that there's an empty spot there. I'm not using the bank. I'm not a customer in the bank. But let's say at nighttime when the bank is closed. Now, sometimes they'll put a chain around the parking lot, which indicates that you should not park there. So I simply remove the chain and park there anyway. And then put the chain back. And then in the morning, obviously, undo the chain and go out. And now I have a parking spot, Baruch Hashem.
The car is still there.
So let's say even better. It says a big sign. Only customers can park here. which is like every other bank parking lot that I've seen in the United States. I don't know about here, but certainly in the here there's no parking bechlal. That's what it means when they're open. Okay? Can I take a shortcut, Rabbi Bernstein, through your lawn? I don't know if it's possible to get to the street above me. In Harnof, this is like Maisim Shevichol Yom. Because Harnof is a, if you know the area, my son lives there. And this is very common. People do this instead of walking all the way around the block, which will take another 15, 20 minutes. They simply walk through people's... Okay, first they walk through buildings. Okay, walking through a building... By the way, I ask permission in my cul-de-sac of every dayar, can I go through their building in order to get to my house? It saves me, Rabbi Baum, approximately 58 seconds, maybe a minute, probably a minute and a half, maybe two. So I did. I went and asked permission of every dayar. They thought I was...
How long did that take, though?
It took me approximately 6 months. So I got to everyone. I live, you know where I live, Rabbi Feinberg? Across the street from me is a building that the following people live there. I should give you a list of all the dayarim. I know them all. Anyway, so I asked, including Wolfson. I asked him as well, Mr. Wolfson, whether I can walk through that building. He lives on the top floor. And then I asked my next door neighbor across the street, which is Dr. David Blass. I believe you know him. He's obviously here in the shul. And I also asked my good Harvard lawyer friend, Stephen, whether I can walk through the building. And I asked every single member of the building. They thought I was a little bit... Of course you can walk through the building. What's the problem? So that's why I walked through the building, Rabbi Baum. Otherwise, I wouldn't walk through the building. And it saves me a lot of wear and tear, especially when I'm schlepping things sometimes, and instead of schlepping all the way around the block. What do you say, Rabbi Bernstein, to this kind of, they call it lunatic behavior? I'm coming to that. So that's the question. So they told me the following. If there are a lot of people, quote unquote, traipsing through the building, T-R-A-I-P-S-I-N-G, then as opposed to you, leave them across the street, so okay, you're a shochet. We have Shabbat brachos together, all kinds of other things to do together. Is there welcome such a distinction? I would say yes. There definitely is. I don't think the average person, but... So I told them, if there comes a point where everyone is using it and you feel literally preyed upon, P-R-E-Y-E-D, I will stop doing it. I'll walk around the block, get a bit more exercise, it'll be good for me probably. Anyway, so this is an issue of using someone's, but in Har Nof, what goes on is the following, Rabbi Bernstein. I'm just telling you what my oldest son showed me. Abba, he says, not just that walking through a building. No, then you walk, there's sometimes in a patio, which is someone's private patio, but sort of outside. Now, it's part of his property. And you walk through that patio, and people walk through it in order to get to the other side. Yes, it goes on and off all the time. You save yourself 20 minutes. Is that permissible? And that's it. There's a sign. No trespassing. Don't be rid. So I don't understand Hebrew, so I have no problem. All of a sudden, I'm completely... I don't even know what the... Now, if there's an umdah, the muchach, that people are makbid, so what's the issue? It's also the hechlet. A makom b'hakel b'chlal. And a person has the right to be a makbid. Why is he makbid? I walk on someone else's grass. Big deal. No damage will be done. I'll say, l'shvacho shel Dr. David Blass. You know Dr. David Blass. There's an area when I go, shall we say, coming back home. There's a grassy null area. Who does it belong to? He will never be seen alive or Chas v'Shalom, Achrei Meir Hashem Shana, walking on that grassy knoll. No, Rabbi Baum be seen doing that. And I once spoke to him about it. Everyone walks, it's a shortcut. Why should I walk all the way around? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. So, another example. Okay, but it could be the grass is half-care, because I asked all the diarim, who owns the grass? Same question I asked them as well. Another occasion. They thought it was Shalom Wata, Shalair. Can I put my garbage in your garbage can? My sim shebecholim.
What's the answer about the parking lot?
So the parking lot, as I said, if there are signs indicating that it's only for customers, it doesn't make a difference despite the diuk that he didn't mean. But anyway, I think it's awesome.
Night?
I think it's awesome. I would not park there.
Even at night?
Yeah.
In America, you get towed away.
Okay, that's what that was mentioned over here. But I'm asking a better question with the garbage can. Trust me, my garbage can is already stuffed, and I have no room, and your garbage can is available. Can I put my garbage in your garbage? Are people makpid about it? What? Okay, and the Hanami. So if I go to, so I'll go to a dumpster. They have, they used to have more dumpsters here, now they took them out. I guess I, Mishim Nikayon Ha'ir. Maybe she wants to be reelected, I don't know. Whatever, that's what someone, one of these pundits told me over here. I think it's also to put my garbage in your garbage can. Also behechle. No heter whatsoever.
What about a candy wrapper?
I'm better, that's my next item. I wrote it down. Candy wrapper. Wow, one wrapper. Now, by the way, that's another one. I have problems even with the people who chew these seeds on Shabbos. I'm not into that. It's not my thing. I create a barbershop sarabim. I hold this awesome. Also the echlet. And then throw it on the street. A candy wrapper people on the street. Where are these people coming from? My mother, La Shalom. My parents lived in Yerushalayim for a fair number of years, many, many years ago. My mother carried with her a garbage bag. She picked up all the wrappers on the street. She couldn't handle city of Yerushalayim being miluchlach. So I asked her if she's working for the, she's a sanitary engineer, she didn't know what that meant, working for the sanitation department. So she said, no, she works for Hashem Yisbarach. And she believes that the city should be clean. Lo yitochen, to put my garbage in someone else's garbage can. I never heard of such a thing in my entire life. On page 15, I think you have it here, I took out, this is what a sefer that I used then. I don't use it anymore. When I was sitting with Rabbi Spector Zatzal and Rabbi Shengaleski, Brother Chaim Arukim, Meshub Halacha, all these funny svarim, Piskei Halacha, I get a kick out of the whole thing. I have an yeshiva, we have a Rebbe, who's an outstanding Rebbe, Talmud Chacham Otzum, but he's a Sephardi. So whatever he teaches in Lahalacha. Everything's Lahalacha. And I don't teach anything Lahalacha. It's all Lumdis and Svaras. I want to understand what the Sugi is talking about. You want to come to Halacha, very nice, but you got to get the foundation. So they don't know what to do with me. I have a few Sephardic Rabbanim and Yeshiva. They're very into halakha, halakha, halakha. But I said, they have to both of them agree with me that without understanding what's the point of the halakha, it doesn't make any sense. Anyway, here I have a sefer, Meshav Halacha. He talks about, I think the case here is with Munsi. You can see on top, if you see Rabbi Munitz. And the Mechutan Shesachar Bus. It's hilarious, this whole tshuva. Sheisam in New York, Lemunsi. Love you, Takuam Lachatuna. So he goes into the bus. This is Ma'isim Shevel Chol Yom. So again, this is the question. Do you apply over here the din of Zen and of Zelo Chose? So he says that if there's a Mokom Ponui, then he can go there even the Chathchila. If the empty space on the bus, it's Mut Chathchila. He writes here in the footnote on the bottom. I think there's a footnote here. You have to read the whole footnote from the Sivus HaMishpat that where there's no macha, and I'm protesting, and he passes like the Nesibis, the Chsam Sevitz, Mutar, Zen Nenes Elochaser, unless there's a macha of the Bailin. And certainly there's no chiv to pay. That's what he writes the halacha here. There's no obligation to pay. So, because essentially, the person who chartered the bus is chartering the whole bus. He's not paying per person. He's paying for the bus, X amount of whatever sum of money he's charging the bus for. Nothing extra is being paid, so there's no reason why you should not take so. Abaye Lichtenstein, when he drove, he used to, at one point, I don't know if you're aware, he drove from Yeshiva, I'm talking about in Alon Shua, from Yerushalayim, where he lived. He lived for many, many years in Yerushalayim. I think only the last few years he lived in, I don't know, were you there? He already moved, or he didn't move? He's still in Yerushalayim. So he used to drive. And he picked up every single trampist on the way. It doesn't make a difference whether they were Jewish, non-Jewish. Ani shamati sipurim me'alfim ala yidia zeh. It's just, what can I say? Pure, it's a chesed. Every pore in his body just radiating chesed, radiating kindness and goodness. And I'm talking about the godless in Torah. That I'm not in, I can't measure that kind of godless. I'm not in the position to measure it. That's how we should be behaving, and everything should be viewed from the from that perspective. Someone asked me, how can I go in someone else's car? Maybe now I'm adding to the weight as a result. He's going to have to pay more gas. I have to ask Jonathan Sasson over here what the whether that's happening or not. And am I mechuyev to pay? Assuming he's masking, people take me. for a ride, I assume, I always offer to pay for the guest. If I get a ride from someone, sometimes weddings, I go to a lot of weddings. This week I was only at 5. Anyway, so, and I had to drive because one was Alan Strauss and another wedding. So it's not simple. And so the question is paying for guests. Should I offer to pay the guests? Am I mechuyev to pay for the guests? Is it extra weight? So he talks about it here at the bottom of, look at the bottom. What? No, the driver's car. And he asked me if I'm willing, or I arranged him beforehand. He's going to the wedding, and I know he's going to, let's say he's going to leave early, which I generally like to do. I don't always succeed doing that, but anyway, so if I have to leave early, because I'm going to another wedding, and he's also going to another wedding, and he says, I'll take you. Rav David, I'll take you. And he takes me, and I offer to pay for, look on the bottom of the, look on the bottom here, this tshuva. Because I'm adding to his expense, by my extra weight in the car, and I should pay for the gas. Okay, that's it. Take a look over here. Let's see the bottom paragraph of page number 15. That's the wear and tear on the walls. Hilarious, it's just hilarious. In came Balav Hochia Yachosim. And Akshav, what's that next word? Zen Nan of Zelochas. After Lord Dom, the Simon Shin Samuel Gimel, and now the Shama Chesar Nigma of the Nea, no. You come from Mehom, the Simon Shimen, the Shim Shu Dabi Agabna, Zen Nan of Zelochas, Ayan Kesemishtem. And there he says, Poshid the Choshev Zenel Zalchaser, Schar Habos, in the Comet Yeshiva, Kalava in Mishvilo, Uvadim Shalia Kisod, or Mishalam Kokach, Zebor. Okay, there was one other thing here, but I'm not going to trouble you with that. And anyway, this is a very fascinating sugya, both from a Lomdisha standpoint and a Havachal Maisa standpoint. And I think one should be extremely nizar how one behaves in all these areas.